Good morning to all my brothers and sisters. It's the first time I am at the pulpit in your congregational church. I've come to Second Union Church several times for different purposes, but I've never had the privilege and the holy moment of sharing with you from the pulpit. And I think it's a blessing from God, and I'm humbled by the opportunity. And I hope that the Lord Jesus be here, and I believe so because I need him. Amen. Praise God. Without him, we cannot do nothing. Amen. I feel very happy to be here this morning with my wife, Bethsaida, and my granddaughter, Danielis, right there. Okay. We've been 31 years together. We're going to be 32 in December. So, and this is our first granddaughter of three grandchildren. Very happy to be here, seeing so many beautiful faces that I know. Many of you I know. Some of you I know for the first time. If I start talking a little bit about the people that I know here, maybe that will take the time of the sermon, all right? But I tell you that I feel that Second Union Church is like a second home to me, all right? I feel very close to your pastor, Pastor Bob Soba. We're very good friends, and with Pastor Corey, I don't know if you know him. Of course you do, right? The three of us kind of are like a gang, you know? We hang out together here and there. We have lunch together. We're part of this, of the ESPN, the English-Speaking Network, pastors that meet every month to do the WBMJ radio program for pastors. And there are other ministers, but that we gather and we share together in many ways. When it comes to Pastor Bob, he's like the beloved disciple, and Corey is the Pope, you know? They're very great friends of mine. You have a great pastor within you, in yourself. Pastor Bob has been very encouraging to me in my life, you know, in my last, this past year particularly, and I'm grateful to him and to his wife, his family, for everything they've done for me. And again, you all have one of the best pastors you can ever have. Amen? How many of you believe that your pastor is the top pastor? Raise your hands. I'm going to tell Pastor. Pastor, not all of them. I'm kidding. I want also to, Brenda reminded me that this afternoon there is going to be a memorial service for a memory of Martha McCracken, who was a pastor of the Lutheran Church for many years, a great leader within the English-speaking churches. He's going to be in the Lutheran Church, right? In Santurce, right? Yeah, so for you to know, it's going to be at 4 o'clock, right? Amen? Well, as you've already seen, I'm a musician and I sing. So I am tempted to sing something. Would you allow me to sing a song? Yes. Praise God. So I'm going to get that microphone, get my guitar. And I have not rehearsed, but it's one of the best. This is a song. I want to sing this song because... yesterday, I was participating at a Jewish wedding marriage vow ceremony, and the couple requested this song, and I found it so beautiful, so beautiful. Actually, the song was composed originally in Hebrew, as you can imagine, you may know, but then I can only sing it in English. I found a translation into English, so it sang in English, in Hebrew and English mainly. But the song says Eli Eli. By the way, that's my name. It's that my mother, when I was born, she didn't know what name to put me in. When she saw me, oh my God! And my God means Eli. So, Eli. You're supposed to laugh to that. Okay. Eli Eli, I pray that these things never end. The sound of the sea, the rush of the waters, the crash of the heavens, or the lightning of the heavens, the prayers of men, that these things never end. Eli, Eli, my God, that these things never end. Okay. Check, check, check. Yeah, today I will be sharing with you concerning the Spirit of God and how we are all immersed in that Spirit. Not because we have found the Spirit, but the Spirit of God has found us. It says in the Bible that when God created man, he breathed into it the breath of life and became that dust. Or that clay became a living being. A living being. Like that. Now, I want you to sing with me. All right? Can you give me the... Me. Listen to this. Holy, holy, holy. Can you repeat that with me? Holy, 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 my heart adores you. Again, Pastor. My heart adores you. My heart knows how to say to you, the Lord, you are holy, Lord. Can you sing by yourself? Holy, holy, holy. My heart adores you. My heart knows how to say to you, you are holy. Close your eyes. My heart adores you. My heart knows how to Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is coming, and it's now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks to worship him. For the Father seeks such to worship him. For God is spirit, and those who worship in spirit and in truth, they must worship." See, a person can live a life in the spirit. At the end of my talk or my sermon this morning, I want you to leave from this place understanding that you and I are spiritual beings. And I will challenge you to think that the fact is that we are more spiritual than physical. A person must know that his spirit, the Spirit of God, is like ready to invade the spirit of man and woman. In other words, a person must know that his spirit is like a vessel. A vessel. And I do like this, thinking that within my body there is a spirit, that I'm spirit. But the spirit that is in me and is within you is like a vessel. It's like a cup of glass, a vessel. Okay? Containing God's spirit. And that's very big. I'm not saying, like in Hinduism, they will say that God is within you and God is you. That God emanates from you. That you are the I am. That's what is preached in Hinduism and pantheism. Christianity, we have discovered and we have seen in Judeo-Christian faith that the Spirit of God isn't the vessel called the spirit, your spirit. There is a merge of your spirit created by God, the God of the spirits. The God who creates the spirits comes within your spirit and makes you alive. I will make a parenthesis to say how many times we've seen people that would say, "Man, you have a spirit." You say that? Hear that phrase? I love the spirit of that man, that woman. Man, I can feel the spirit within you. Wow, that's a big thing. This spirit was given in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, when God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his earthen vessel the breath of life that is and was spirit. The breath of life is spirit. The spirit is man's divine vessel to contain God. So that means that I'm not God, but there's a vessel there that contains God. The Spirit of God is upon me, Jesus said. The Spirit of God is upon me, Jesus said. For I am anointed to preach good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He was filled with the Spirit. The church was not alive until it was filled with the power of the Spirit of God. Something happened that gave life to the church. And it was the Spirit of God. That's why when we sing, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me." Wow, that song's a prayer. If we, every day we wake up in the morning, and instead of just going to prepare the coffee and do many things, you just go to your balcony if you have one, or you go anywhere and you raise your hand, you go, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me," with that intention. Fall afresh on me, new, brand new, fresh spirit, fire. Fall afresh on me. Melt me. Melt me. Meaning, make me something new today of me. Mold me. Mold me. Like the prophet says, that he was what? Molding the clay. Making something anew. Fill me. Fill me. And then use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. It is a spiritual identity that we have. We many times think about our physical identity, but we forget about a spiritual identity. The Spirit will determine how people will look at us. We will reflect if we have the Spirit of God within us. First Corinthians chapter 3:17, it says, if anyone destroys the temple, God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do you know what a big statement that is? God's temple, where God lives, is so impacting and so important for us to understand, because it is powerful. That's why the apostle said, if God is with us, who can be against us? If Christians will know the power within them, within themselves, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, and then you leave the day. You go out to work out the things that you need to do. Now listen to what Jesus himself said to the disciples. God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and in truth must worship. Not will worship, must worship. Because when you are in the spirit, you are connected to the living God that permeates the world. And when God created the world, it says that the Spirit of God was upon the waters, was moving around the earth. That same spirit is the spirit that penetrates and enters everything that exists. So it indicates that God's nature is spiritual and that our nature is spiritual. And God has determined to create everything by that identity. Who is God? He is the Father of all spirits. I say that again. He is the Father of all spirits. Now, that's not taken out of nowhere. Hear what Paul said to the Hebrews, to the Jews in Jerusalem. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? How much we should not submit to the Father of spirits and live? We cannot live without the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God enlivens, aviva los espíritus. In Genesis 1:26-27 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, and so on and on and on and on. But he said, let us make man, humankind, in our image and in our likeness. Notice the phrase, God said. God said means that God had power, and God created through his power. And then he says, let us make man in our image. It means that we are the same gender, the same spirit in our image, the same gender, the same spiritual genetics of God. Let us create them in our image. God is spirit, just as we are spirits. Our spirit is the vessel containing God's spirit. And then he says, let us make man. What is man? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:23 says, it is a spirit that has a soul and lives
in a body. The man is a tripartite being or a composite of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. See? The man out of the dust receives the breath of life, and that dust becomes a living soul.
We made our parenthesis by taking you quickly to the encounters, the type of encounter that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Do you remember at times when Jesus was walking in Jerusalem and constantly surrounded and followed and tested by the Pharisees? Not all of them were alike, but some of them were trying to test Jesus. Who are you? Where do you come from? Where do you get all this power from? Are you coming from the Father? And so on. Jesus identified them and confronted them with the hypocrisy, because they were in the outside one thing, but in the inside was something else. They were on the outside demanding on people things that they themselves weren't able to follow and to fulfill. They were hypocrites. They were actors. That's what the word hypocrite comes from, actors. They were acting out, but they were not real. And Jesus said many times that they were dead. They looked alive, but spiritually they were dead. They were without the Spirit. The Spirit was not. The Spirit of God was not reigning in them, in the vessel where God accommodates himself and dwells. That's why the apostle, who was a Pharisee, Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, he said to the churches, as they were asking, and he was teaching to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, he said, but we have this treasure, this living soul, in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. When God had made the earthen vessel, then he breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. So the man, or human beings, or humankind, man and woman, we have the vessel of God's Spirit for God, and the glass, I call this the glass. The glass of our body to receive the breath of life. God's vessel is for God's Spirit. And your glass is your body and spirit. We are in creation received the image of God, that his Spirit and only Spirit resides in his earthen vessel, which is his body. Zechariah the prophet said concerning Israel many prophecies. And one of the prophecies in chapter 12, verse 1, identifies the nature of the one receiving the prophecy. Listen to this. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person. Hear that? And who forms the human spirit within a person declares. And he declares the prophecy. It clearly notes that the Spirit is, and if it's not, it can be, in man and woman. We are spirits, brothers and sisters. And it's only when we are spirits and we recognize our spirituality that we can worship God. Because those who worship God must worship him in spirit. And that means that when we declare, we understand our spirituality and the Spirit of God within us, that then we can worship knowing that we are not worshiping to declare ourselves the recipients of a happy life or declaration or emphasis declaring that we feel satisfied because we've done something good. No, it's because we have declared
the goodness in gratitude of what God has done, because we recognize the greatness of God. It was the Samaritan woman, a woman who was seeking. She was a seeker. She was seeking, exploring, and asking Jesus, why are you here? And I want to know. And Jesus asking for water. And eventually we know the story. But then in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, Paul really interprets even further that encounter with the Samaritan woman. He says, woman, neither in this woman, in this mountain of the Samaritans, referring to what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, that he's saying, woman, neither in this mountain or of the Samaritans, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. The Jews' Father is seeking to worship him in spirit and truth. And it's like an offering now presented through our living bodies as a living sacrifice. So when Jesus came and he died on the cross for our sins, something tremendously happened. The doors were open for our understanding. The worship of the Father became clearer as we understood that worshiping Christ and following him was even beyond that Mosaic type of worship, where people slaughter animals and they present the things to please God and to seek God's forgiveness. No, now in Christ, they saw the Lamb of God and they recognized that the Lamb of God had already come to live within themselves, that they accepted him, and now their lives, their bodies, everything they were, the essence of who they were, and every action they did, and every movement of their body, they were worship entities. They were living sacrifices to the living God. And that has a lot of implications for who we are and what we do before God. Of course, we come to worship the Lord and we bring our instruments. And we worship the Lord through songs and offerings and special arrangements and things that are pleasing to our eyes. But the true worshiper is the one who worships from within himself. Because there is the altar. The altar is right there in the heart. So whether you have it, the external, or you don't have it, whether you are there or are not present at that existential moment, you are a living altar to the living God. But I mean everywhere, under any circumstances, no matter what happens, whether you are under the circumstances that will be so pleasing to you and so accommodating to you, or whether you are, for instance, in a situation like many Christians today live, where they are running away looking to find a place where they can stay and live. They are refugees. They don't have anywhere to worship, but they can bow their heads and they can kneel and say, Lord, I know you are with me. You have never abandoned me. You can probably say, well, I have enough possessions so that sooner or later, when I can, I will donate a certain amount of money to the church because I'm rich. But if you lose all your resources, you still can say, I love God and I worship him in spirit because I know that my spirit, my soul, my body is an altar to worship him. And that's why Paul said, I can worship him and absolutely nothing, high things, low things, to the east, to the west, big, small, nothing will be able to separate myself from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. The one who opened the doors to the grace of God. So we are worshipers not by the law, but we are worshipers by the grace of God that has made us aware of this great understanding of the faith. Aware. Awakened, because it's always been there. But we were blind. We didn't know. We thought that we were physical bodies that had it all together, that we had enough capacity to do things, that we know enough to probably know about the constellations and the universe and everything. But when we came to Christ and we were born of the Spirit, we realize now we are connected to God. Now we are one with God. Now God surpasses all my understanding. All God answers all my questions and my concerns. God answers all my prayers. God is within me, and He is everything of me. Now we can sing with the mind, but also with the spirit. Fall afresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. Liberate me from all attachments that hinders me from worshiping you, from giving you the glory and honor, for using everything that I am for your glory and honor. Then we can praise. We can praise in spirit. The one who prays in spirit can say, "Oh, praise the Lord, yes," with your mouth. We can say many things. Abba, Father. Oh, Lord, you're great. But in the spirit, we can declare the mighty deeds of God, starting with our hearts. We know while we praise, it has reason and virtue, a fruit of our living lips, giving something to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, for our Lord Almighty reigns. Where? In my heart. Lord Almighty reigns. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Why? Because it's reigning within me, within you. It's a different mindset. It's a different understanding. It's a different worldview. Because the world teaches you that what you see is what it is. But there is much more that you cannot see that exists within you. Worship and praise in the language of the kingdom of God. What's that language? Psalm 34:1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Because it comes from the heart. When the praise doesn't come from the heart, people get tired, they get bored, they feel like they get tired of it. But when it comes from the heart, it's a continual transformation that is taking place, a continual worship. There is a need for prayer. There is a need for meditation. There is a need for spiritual discipline. There is a need for the prayer meeting. There is a need for the Bible study. There is a need for visiting. There is a need for worshiping the Lord. There is a need for going on our knees, going to the altar and bending our knees and worshiping the Lord and giving ourselves to God in praise and worship. Why? Because it's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside out. That is to be born of the Spirit. And a person, an individual, and a Christian, and a church that understands that comes is from what comes from that, there is not an empty well there. There is a well that is filled and is always filling in. It's like Jesus when he said to the man, if you would know who is asking you for water, you will ask him for water and you will thirst no more. Because the Spirit will be like living water running through yourself. You need, as a Christian, to every day ask God to come to you like springs of living water. That's it. The Church of Christ needs to be spiritual oriented. Spirituality needs to be the number one priority of any local church. Spirituality. Anything that has to do to spiritual discipline, whether it's prayer, meditation, evangelism, visiting the sick, evangelizing, worshiping, has to be priority. Because that is what will take you to where the source of all is and exists. Many come to act, to the act of worship and say, Abba, Father, holy, holy. But to leave the service of worship, what do they do after they leave? What do they do after they leave? Do they engage in things of the flesh, or do they continue in the same spirit? Let me finish by quoting Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, that says that the church must be filled with the Spirit, speaking in psalms and hymns, and singing speech, praising the Lord in their hearts. Because the abundant praise of the heart, the mouth speaks and sings. Bring joy virtues of Jesus to your worship, and let the Spirit of God fall upon you in a way that you will never be the same, because everything will be anew coming to you, flowing like streams and springs of living water. May the Lord bless you abundantly and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Amen.